From London, BBC Caribbean Report.
Georgetown rejects Venezuelan excuse for overflying Guyana's airspace. Cuban dissidents could benefit from new agreements between Canada and Havana. And OECS countries want more of their workers employed in Canada's farm labor program. I'm Ken Richards, and this is BBC Caribbean Report. Guyana is not satisfied with the explanation given for the Christmas Eve intrusion of its airspace by two Venezuelan fighter planes. The Venezuelan Ministry of Foreign Affairs said the flights were part of a salute to their soldiers posted at their frontiers and were not intended as non-friendly signals. However, the Guyanese government and military are not buying that explanation. Colin Smith reports.
Head of the Presidential Secretariat, Dr. Roger Lunchen, said this morning that no approval was given to Venezuela for their military aircraft to access Guyana's airspace. He added that the explanation given by Venezuela was not acceptable.
The government has not accepted or has not received a response that it supports or is willing to accept. Right? We have been given information by the Venezuelans, and it's being studied and questioned. It has caused additional questions to be answered, and we're trying to get those answers from them.
Dr. Lunchen added that the United Nations is being made aware of developments. The Venezuelan Ministry of Foreign Affairs, in a statement made public last Tuesday, said that the flights by the aircraft of the Venezuelan Armed Forces were a customary New Year's salute to their garrisons on the frontiers. However, the Chief of Staff of the Guyana Defense Force, Major General Joe Singh, said yesterday that this explanation is highly unusual. He said this is the first time since he became chief of staff in 1990 that this has occurred. The chief of staff added that Venezuela should have at least notified the Guyanese authorities in advance of their intentions. Colin Smith in Georgetown, Guyana for BBC Caribbean Report.
40 years ago today, Fidel Castro entered the Cuban capital, Havana. His revolution had started in the eastern city of Santiago de Cuba, and dictator Fulgencio Batista had fled. All that remained was for Fidel to enter Havana and claim victory. We'll hear from some Cuban people in a short while on Fidel Castro's 40-year legacy. But first to the United States, where a 38-year-old embargo remains in place against communist Cuba. Many now question the effectiveness of that embargo. Robert McNamara was U.S. Defense Secretary for most of the 1960s at the height of the Cold War. So does he believe Fidel Castro has been good or bad for Cuba?
The simple answer is yes, and let me just give you one illustration of that. Today, the infant mortality rate in the capital of the richest country in the world, that is to say Washington, D.C., the infant mortality rate in Washington, D.C. is twice that of Castro's Cuba. He brought education, he brought health, he brought nutrition, he brought reduction in infant mortality, he brought increase in life expectancy. Now, they paid a terrible price. Dictatorship, denial of civil rights, hunger, nutrition, lack of nutrition, etc. But on balance, he vastly improved the lot of the average Cuban. That's why they haven't thrown him out.
Robert McNamara is one of the growing number of influential Americans arguing a case for ending the American embargo against Cuba.
In contrast to what I would consider the narrow-minded Cuban exiles that are dominating, in a sense, Florida domestic politics today, the Council on Foreign Relations, two ex-assistant secretaries of state for Latin American affairs and Caribbean affairs, one a Democrat, one a Republican, two ex-secretaries of state, Kissinger and Vance, a committee of the Council on Foreign Relations, a task force that has just studied this, totally agrees we should change our policy. We should open it up to communication and investment.
Former U.S. Defense Secretary Robert McNamara. So what do Cubans think about their leader 40 years on?
I'm 70 years old. And if I got to give my life for the revolution, I've given my life for the revolution. If anybody's intent to come here to destroy this, I tell you, because everybody designed to defend the country.
Here, young people don't have the chance to fulfill their dreams. There is hunger. Although we can't blame Fidel for that, it's those below him. Anyone who has a government post uses it to live well. If 50 trays of eggs arrive at the ration store, they distribute 30 and sell the rest for their own profit. I don't think Fidel knows about all this.
I think, yes, the people is worried, even if the public health is in shambles and the education is a disaster at some schools, the houses are crumbling down.
¿Cuánto sueño y cuántas malas noches pasará Fidel acostado en un lugar o sentado en un balance sin poder?
How many bad nights do you think Fidel has been through, sitting awake thinking how he's going to feed his 11 million children? Because he's the father of Cuba, he has to think what he will give his children the next day. All the food gets shared out, so everyone gets a little. We owe all that to him, so those who don't analyze things well and who talk rubbish and don't want to work, they're just ungrateful. Nothing will happen. A new Fidel will arise and another. We don't lack Fidels. Fidel could die tomorrow. He's only human like us. But Cuba is full of Fidels.